Oh, in the pocket today, so we're going to have to pick it up from here. Amen. Praise God. Aren't you excited about what God's doing? He said He's going to take you down a path that you've never been down before. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to go places I've never been. It's always a thrill to me to get on a plane, fly to some place that I've never been before. Well, this is even more exciting than that. God is going to take us on a path that we've never been. Now, the difference is He's our tour guide. He's going to show us where to go as we go down that path. Isn't that good?
Amen.
I mean, the Bible says in Proverbs 2:6, it says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Out of His mouth. The Bible says God gives wisdom and it comes out of His mouth. The ancients called the wisdom of God the voice of God. Right, it's His voice. Out of His mouth comes His wisdom. Now, today we pretty much defined wisdom as being the ability to use knowledge, right? We've said if you have wisdom, then you can use knowledge. Well, there's also a word of wisdom that's beyond knowledge. There's a word of knowledge that's beyond knowledge. And so we need to learn how to hear the voice of God. It's not enough just to know something. You got to know how to use what you know in a beneficial way. That's real wisdom. That's how God gives it to us. We need to know the voice. Wisdom comes to us by hearing the voice of God and doing what God says. In the prophecy or the interpretation of the tongue, which is the same as a prophecy, the Bible says. In that tongue and interpretation, God said He would lead us and we'd have to go His way. No other way but His way. Wisdom, the wisdom of God brings good things to our lives. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Amen. Proverbs 3:1-2 says, "My son, forget not my law, but keep that let thine heart keep my commandments." We're talking about the word of God. He said, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Length of days, long life, and peace. In other words, you can live long, you can live strong, and you can have nothing missing, nothing broken in life if you simply will hear from the word of God what He has to say to you.
Amen.
It's pretty good. When He guides us, He leads us the way. He knows where all the traps are. He knows where all the pitfalls are. He knows what to do. So the wisdom is His voice. His voice is the Word of God. We need to be in the Word so we can live a long, strong life with nothing missing, nothing broken. We need to learn how to walk with Him by faith. The world can never understand how the Word works. The problem with religion, in particular the Christian religion, is that we're trying to take the Word of God and we're trying to make it fit our mental processes rather than understanding that the Word must be spiritually discerned.
Yeah. Yes.
The carnal mind can never understand it. By the carnal mind, I'm not just talking about the lost person, I'm talking about the saved person who hasn't had their mind renewed. And they still think like the world, or they still think in ways that contradict the Word of God. Even well-meaning, good people think the way the world thinks when they think in terms of God wanting to kill people, think in terms of God wanting to make people sick, think in terms of the fact that God is mean and mad. God is good. And the Bible teaches that. We need to learn how to think with the wisdom of the Word of God. The Word must be spiritually discerned. You're never going to understand the Word with just your mind. It's going to take a relationship with the Father, the Son, fellowship in the Holy Ghost, so revelation can come to you and you can find out what the Bible really, really says.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You need to get a hold of what that says. The world's wisdom is destined to fail. It has to. I mean, that it's just going to happen. I mean, just our little picture here. It says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God will stand forever." The world system is going to fade.
Yeah.
It's going to fail. The word of God is what's going to stand forever. We need to understand the word will last. It will outlast the word. It amazes me how circumstances change every day.
Yeah.
But the word stays the same. It's never changed. It hadn't had to change. We need to align ourselves with the Word. Stay with the Word of God. We need to have His plan. Wouldn't it be terrible if you were climbing the ladder of success and you got all the way to the top of the ladder of success and you found out you were on the wrong ladder? Because you didn't follow His plan? See, it's His plan. You can get success in the world, but if you're not walking with God, you'll never have His plan and have the ultimate success of fulfilling in life what He called you to. And He called you to be blessed. He called you to walk in victory and in power.
That's right.
I ran across a silly thing that this week that I'll just go ahead and get out of the way. It was called wisdom. These are supposed to be words of wisdom. So just Bear in mind, it's just a joke, okay? Here we go. There's several of them. A guy says, a friend of mine confused her Valium with her birth control pills. She has 14 kids, but she doesn't really care.
Oh, man.
One of life's mysteries is how a 2-pound box of chocolates can make a woman gain 5 pounds. One guy said, my mind wanders. It sometimes leaves completely. This is kind of wise here. The best way to forget your troubles is to wear tight shoes. You forget all about your troubles. Oh, the nice part about living in a small town is when you don't know what you're doing, someone else does.
Yeah.
We've lived in that town before. This one is really true. Now, this is real wisdom. The older you get, the tougher it is to lose weight, because by then your body and your fat are really good friends. Let's see here. So sometimes I think I understand everything. Then I regain consciousness. I like this one, too. I gave up jogging for my health when my thighs kept rubbing together and setting fire to my sweatpants. Let's see. Amazing. You hang something in your closet for a while, and it shrinks 2 sizes. This is the one I really like the best of all these. Skinny people irritate me, especially when they say things like, you know, sometimes I forget to eat. Now, I've forgotten my address, my mother's maiden name, my keys, but I've never forgotten to eat. You have to be a special kind of stupid to forget to eat. I didn't write it. Somebody else did. I'm just reading it. I like this one, too. It says, the trouble with some women is they get all excited about nothing. Then they marry him. That's pretty good. And then I like this one, too. It says, this is the last one. It says, I read this article that said the typical symptoms of stress are eating too much, impulse buying, and driving too fast. Are they kidding? That's my idea of a perfect day. All right, let's get some real wisdom. Let's look at the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. We're going to read some verses that we've read and quoted, I don't know, dozens of times, hundreds of times over the years. Mark, chapter 11. We're going to go down, you probably already guessed it, to verse 22. And this is where we're going to begin today. We're just going to see where the Lord will take us. Mark, chapter 11, verse 22. It says, and Jesus, answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, we talked about this. In fact, we preached on it a little bit ago for several weeks in a row. But we know that what happened here is that yesterday, Jesus... yesterday, from when he said this, he went to the temple, and he was going to clean everything out when he got there. And on the way, he saw a fig tree. The fig tree advertised that it had some figs. Jesus went to get a fig from it, and it didn't have any, and so he cursed it, and it died. Well, they come back the next day. They're walking by it. Peter notices that it's dead, and he's amazed. He said, Lord, look, that fig tree you cursed is dead. And then Jesus comes with this answer to Peter. He's saying, have faith in God. Now, so it's amazing to them. And Jesus tells Peter these words. Now, I want you to, first of all, understand this is not a suggestion from Jesus. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, now, if you just get things right, you try your best to have faith in God. Try your best to believe what the Word of God says. He didn't say, now, if you get to the place where you become super spiritual, then you can have faith. He made a command. He said, have faith in God. Yeah. Have faith. In fact, in Matthew chapter 21:21, he said, if you have faith, you'll not only do what I just did to the fig tree, but you'll speak to the mountain. Mm-hmm. In other words, he's saying, this isn't just for me. This is for all of us. If you'll just have faith, if you'll just believe what God has said, then you will say to trees, that's weird right there, isn't it?
Yes.
He's saying you will say to anything that's growing in your path that defies the Word of God, and you will curse it. And he said, not only that, you'll speak to anything that rises on the plain like a mountain that defies you from achieving the will of God. And you will tell it to get out of your way. He's not saying, now you can do that if you have super, super spiritual powers. He's saying, this is my command to you. He didn't say, now, guys, I'm Jesus, and y'all are not. I'm the Son of God, so don't try this at home. It won't work for you, but I can do it and you can't. No, he did it not as God. He did it as the Son of God, the Son of Man. He did it as a human being, and in that process showing us how we can operate in this realm of faith. That's what he was talking about. All right, so we need to recognize that. He commanded us to have it. Let me read you an interesting verse of Scripture. Well, maybe I'll turn to it. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I think we'll come back to Mark, but we'll find out in a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the last chapter in 2 Corinthians. And I want you to look at verse 5 here. This is a very interesting verse of Scripture. And I think that a lot of people, in fact, most people, fail to understand the purpose of faith. They fail to understand what it is that they're going after. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, the apostle says to the church at Corinth, now these are people who move in the gifts. I mean, they have tongues and interpretations. They have all kinds of things going on. And here's what he tells them. He says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. That's interesting. He says, examine yourselves. The word examine here means to test. It means to take a test to find out if you're in the faith. Let me read it from the Amplified. The Amplified Bible says, examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing proper fruits, the proper fruits of it. Test. And prove yourselves, not Christ. In other words, you're not trying to prove him. Find out if you really believe it's what he's saying. He says, do you not yourselves realize, know thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are counterfeits, disapproved, on trial, and rejected? A lot of people think they have faith. They think they believe what God said, but it's all counterfeit. And they're fooled by it because they never try to use the faith. See, faith is like kind of like a $20 bill. You don't know if it's real or not until you try to spend it. Yeah. I mean, when all of a sudden you're trying to use it, if it doesn't work, it's just counterfeit. And most, I hate to say it this way, but most Christians do not have New Testament Bible faith. Ooh, I'll get more into that as we go along. The Message Bible, that verse says this, test yourselves to make sure you're solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourself regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. Most Christians just drift along. They get saved. Now they're going to heaven and they drift along. And they're thinking that when they die, they'll go to heaven. They probably will. Or that Jesus will come back. And that now our job is to simply sit back and relax. They think it's like being on the airplane. Sit back and relax. Enjoy your flight. No, that's not what it is. Let me read the New International Version. This is a pretty good verse. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. See, we need to examine ourselves. The sad thing is most Christians refuse to examine themselves. I would rather examine you and tell you what's missing in your life than to examine me and see if I have a blind spot or to see if there's something missing in me. Most of them assume that because of some past experience that they're in faith today and their faith is counterfeit. They would fail the test if they had to take it today. Most Christians confuse religion with faith. They don't know the difference between the two. So we're going to look at that today. There was an old Nancy Sinatra song, and she said, these boots are made for walking. Well, today I'm going to my sermon's titled, This Faith is Made for Walking. Okay, it's not made for sitting. It's made for walking. So we're going to take a test today about faith here. First of all, Jesus said, have faith in God. Now, we've gone over in detail this passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 11. It literally says, have faith of God, because in the Greek language, if it said faith in God, it would have the words, Greek words, entheos, But it doesn't have those two Greek words. It has one Greek word, and the Greek word is theou, which is a possessive word. So it literally says, have faith of God, or have God's faith, is what he's saying. He's telling us to have God's faith, or the kind of faith that God has. Now, a lot of people get really bothered by that when you say, get God's faith. However, we shouldn't be so surprised about it. The Bible says we're to have his armor. We're to have his love. The Bible teaches us that his love is inside of us. It's his word. It's his life. Jesus said, take my yoke, take my burden. So it's all his stuff anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so it might as well be his faith, right?
That's right?
I mean, the Apostle Paul said, the life I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Right.
So it's Jesus' faith. So we have to have God's faith, the kind of faith that God has. Now, this Jesus, when he gives this command, it's not a thing that's negative, it's a promise. What he's saying is that we as believers in Jesus Christ can operate in the kind of faith that Jesus operated in. That ought to make you excited.
Yeah.
Okay, that means when storms come, you can talk to them. When trees refuse to produce for you, you can talk to them. Jesus spoke to inanimate objects all the time. He spoke to dead people, and things happened when Jesus spoke in faith. Right? If we're ever to exercise authority over the devil, we must understand the principle of faith. Right? The faith of God, this is what the faith of God is. The faith of God is the kind of faith that expects the word of God to do what it says when I speak it, the same as if God is speaking it audibly himself. That's what the faith of God is. The faith of God says, if I say what the Bible says, it's the same as if God said what it says.
That's right.
Because it is the same as God saying what it says. So that's what he's saying. Have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. So what is that? We went over these. This is all kind of review with us. Romans 4:17, this says, God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. In other words, the faith of God says to the things that contradict the word of God what God said and calls for the replacement of anything that contradicts the word. Okay, that's what the faith of God does. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 27 and 28 says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. In other words, the faith of God calls for what is not to replace what it is if what it is contradicts the word of God.
That's right.
That's what you and I ought to be doing. We ought to be having the faith of God calling in anything from the Word of God to replace anything that disagrees with God. In the Genesis account, Genesis chapter 1, over and over we see these two phrases. God said, and God saw. God said, and God saw. God said light, God saw light, because the light replaced the darkness, because the darkness contradicted God. Okay, God said, and God saw. That's the way it works. That is how the faith of God operates. In this passage in Mark 11, Jesus shows us the necessity to have the faith of God. He shows the law of faith to his disciples. Now, the King James says to have faith in God. Now, that's not bad either. Okay, you need to have faith of God, but you need to have faith in God. Jesus said in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So we got to not only believe, have the faith of God, we have to have faith in God. What is faith in God? Faith in God is believing that God will do what he says.
That's right.
I believe you are a God of your word. I have faith in you because I have faith of you. And when I say what you said, I believe that what you said comes to pass because I trust you. So you've got to have both of those. You've got to have faith of God. You've got to have faith in God. I mean, we have to have it all the time. We believe him. We know he will do what he says he will do. So it's okay to have faith in God. In fact, it's mandatory. And you've got to have faith of God because that's mandatory too. Now, let me go a little further here. To have the faith of God or to have faith in God requires us to walk by faith. Now, it's interesting, the Bible never talks about sitting by faith. The Bible never talks about standing still by faith. The Bible talks about walking by faith. In other words, a life of faith should be a life that is moving. It should be a life that is not stationary, but a life that is continually on the move. We know that Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38 all say the just shall live by faith. Doesn't say the just shall sit on their tails by faith. It says the just shall live by faith. The implication is that all that we do must be done by faith. There is no doing it by the knowledge I have or by the experience I've had. Man, that goes with the prophecy God gave us that it's going to be different this time than it's ever been before. Because if he does it the same way every single time, it doesn't require faith, right? Yeah.
Right.
If I know that if I do A, God's going to do B, I don't have to, if I've done it so many times, well, there are things that are like that. But if I think this is the way it has to happen because God did it this way in the past. Now, the principles are the same. The character of God is the same. But he may do it differently this time.
Yeah.
And I've told you this before. He healed 3 blind people in the New Testament. And every time he healed somebody of blindness, he did it a different way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One time he just spoke to the guy. One time he laid his hands on the guy. Another time he spit in the mud and rubbed it in his eyes. Now, I don't know why he changed it except that he's God and he can do whatever he wants to do, right? That's what he does.
Yeah.
Right, so, to have faith in God... To have faith of God requires us to walk by faith. We are to live by faith. Living by faith is more than having had the faith to be born again. And there's where most people miss it. Most people think that living by faith is to live in the confidence that I was born again. But that's not walking by faith. That's having had faith in making Jesus the Savior of my life way back then. Living by faith is a constant living by means of faith. Right? That's what that verse would say. Okay, you need to examine yourself. Let me ask you a question. Are you believing God for something today? Or are you confidently standing in God on something that you believed yesterday or 20 years ago? There's a big difference between the two. It's okay to have confidence in what you believed 20 years ago, but are you believing today? The just shall live by faith. That is an everyday experience of faith, believing, staying in faith, continually being in faith. If all of your need is met by faith, then you need to reach out in faith and believe for something different for somebody else. There should always be this faith. Many people believe they're supposed to live by working. They make their living by their job. That's not right. We make our living by faith. We don't live by the toil of our own effort. Yes, we do have to work, and we do the things we're supposed to do, but it's the act of faith that brings in the blessing in the hand of God. Some people that make these things, well, I just couldn't live without that. I don't know if I could live without her or him. I couldn't. No, no. The only thing you can't live without is faith.
That's right.
Because the just shall live by faith. Okay, we live by faith. That's it. Faith. I mean, faith must be based on something that is beyond my own ability and my own talent. If I have faith in what God has said to me, then it has to be bigger than me so that God can get the praise for it in the end. Faith is supernaturally achieved by the Word of God, brought into our lives, and it's believing God for that thing we simply cannot do. The Bible says that ages have been altered by those who got a word from God and by faith walked that word out. See, we need to recognize that's what God wants in our lives. He wants us to live by faith. We read that, we've quoted the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Build a little foundation here for me to go to what we'll get to today. We walk. That means we move. We walk by faith, not by sight. Sight isn't just isn't just seeing with the eyes. Sight is representative of all of our senses. We walk by what we believe and what we know to be true from the Word of God, not based on what we can hear, see, taste, touch, and smell. I'm not moved by those things. I'm moved by what did God say. To walk by faith, to live by faith, is what we're supposed to do. Now let me connect this with something we've been teaching for a couple of weeks. To walk by faith is meaning everything we do is by faith. Everything we do is by faith, what God said. So to walk by faith, to live by faith, is the same thing as we've been teaching the last couple of weeks, is the same thing as doing the Word. Remember we've been talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
You do the Word. There's a difference between just hearing and hearing and doing. Jesus talked about that the wise, that he said, a person who hears what I say and does what I say, I will liken him to a wise man. Now that's an interesting way to put it. He didn't say he will be wise. He said, I'll liken him to a wise man. Who do you think the wise man is? Well, it's Jesus, of course, because he's the one saying it. He said, if you will hear what I say and do what I say, you'll be like me. Right? He said, then when the storm comes, you won't be shaken. He said, if you just hear it and don't do it, you're going to be like a fool. And when the storm comes, your house will collapse. So to hear the word, to do the word, is the same as walking by faith. Doing the word, living by the word, because I believe the word, and I will do what it says, even if I can't see that it could possibly work out for me. Yeah. I'm going to say what the word says. I'm going to create with my mouth what the word says. And I'm going to walk toward it, even though I can't see it yet. Does that make sense to you? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do that every day. Even if I can't see with my physical eyes yet, because I know that if I walk by faith, I will see it.
Yes.
Because that's what the Bible teaches us. Right. I have believed, therefore I've spoken. And I know that because of that, I'm going to be alive in the land of the living and see the abundance of God in my life. But I walk toward that because I'm walking according to the word. James chapter 1, we've read this before. It says, to hear the word and not do it is deceiving yourself. So there's a lot about this. We walk by faith. Walking by faith is hearing and doing the word of God. Walking by faith is hearing, doing, saying what God said until we see the manifestation of it. Otherwise, we're just deceiving ourselves. We're just playing church. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and 2 that faith without works is dead. So we not only hear it, we do it, we walk with it every single day. All right, so we've established over the past couple of weeks that if we're walking according to the word, then we're walking in the light. Right? That's what we saw in 1 John chapter 1. Hearing the word and doing the word is walking in the light. Walking in the light is walking by faith. So I'm just making all those things tie together here. The Bible says in Psalm 119 that the entrance of the word brings light. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God brings light, and it brings faith. So walking by faith is walking in light. In other words, walking by faith is walking by what we see from the word of God. Whether we see it with the natural eyes yet or not, we walk by faith in what God has said. The Bible declares that the word is light. The Bible teaches that God is light. Jesus said that he is the light of the world, but that he is also the word. So the word and the light are the same.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen. So to walk in the word is to walk in the light, is to walk by faith, is to live by faith. You with me? All right, here we go. This is good. Now, here's an important statement that I need to make, and I think I made it last week, but we need to get a hold of this. The purpose of the light is not for seeing only. The purpose of the light is for walking. Why would God shine his light on the path that you're supposed to take? Would he shine the light on the path that you're supposed to take so you could shout, I see it? And that'd be the end of it. Oh, absolutely not. God would shine the light on the path that you're supposed to take so you could shout, I see it, and then start walking down that path. The purpose of the light is for walking. The purpose for the faith is for walking, not standing still and having faith in something that passed in our past. It's not enough just to see the path. We must walk down the path. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In other words, the more you walk down the path, the lighter things get. Okay, you've got to walk down the path, because as the light comes on the path, if you don't walk in the direction of the light, pretty soon the light passes you by and you're going to be back in the darkness again. So the path of your path ought to be lighter and lighter and brighter as you walk down the path. Mm-hmm. It won't get lighter if you just stand at the entrance of the path and never move. Sadly, that's where a lot of Christians are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got the light. They got the born again. and they've stayed there for the rest of their life. The more you walk down the path, the more light is revealed. The purpose of the light is to walk down the path. We should be walking in more and more and more light. The Christian life is not about only getting the light in the beginning and then going to heaven. That's where most people are. I got the light. I'm going to heaven. Ooh, let's go to the bar. Or let's open the hymnal. I mean, whatever. It's more than just getting saved, in other words. All right? You know, they have that theology that says, well, I'm saved now. I can do anything I want to for the rest of my life. That simply is not what the Bible teaches us. We must walk in the light. Getting the light in the initial phases is so that we can get more light and walk in the light. Most people think that they know it all because they've seen the light shown at the beginning of the path. And now they've got it all. And they're singing, I saw the light, I saw the light. But they got it wrong because there is going to be more darkness and there's going to be more night if you don't start walking down the path.
Yeah.
It's not enough to have seen the light when it was shown initially, but if you don't move down the path, it's going to get dark and you're going to have to see more light to keep going. Mm-hmm. See, most people get the light and never take one more step off of the initial light they've seen. Now they get some things mentally. But I'm not talking about mental. I'm talking about spiritually getting faith in my heart to walk in life and fulfill what God put me on the planet to do.
Yeah.
And for me to stand before Him one day and say, well, I didn't know. He's going to say, I showed you the light, but you didn't walk with me. Because the light is going to move on down that path. And you're going to have to walk by faith. In the light that you know. Religion stops the flow of the light. At some juncture, it stops moving. And it stands in what it thinks is light now. But it's light of the past. And it's not walking with God today. There's more than being born again. We must walk in the light. And the way you walk in the light is to take one step at a time down the path that God called you to walk in. That's what it's about. We must walk in the light. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. That means every day. Living every day by faith. Going where we go by faith. This may not be good news to you, but there will never be a day in your life that you don't have to have faith. Even if you had $1 zillion in the bank, you'd need faith for something. You have to have faith. We will always have to live by faith. We will never arrive without faith. God is pleased, not by $1 zillion, but by faith. Woohoo! See, our life here is not so much about the destination, but the journey of faith that we take, because that's what pleases God. We must learn to live our lives by faith. And we must pass each current faith exam so we can take the next faith exam. That's why in 2 Corinthians it says to examine yourself. And make sure you're passing this test of faith so you can take the next test of faith. Sadly, many people take the same test of faith over and over and over again. And in this school of faith, you can't flunk out. You just keep taking the same test. I don't know about you, but I want to take some new tests. I want to see some new questions on my exam. I want to walk by faith and I want to pass this faith test so I can go to the next faith test. All right, we must go beyond. Maybe all your bills are paid. And you believed God and you paid off your house and you paid off everything. And now you need to begin to step out in faith. Maybe you need to pay off somebody else's car and somebody else's house. Maybe now you need to pay off the church house. Maybe you need to do, maybe God would grant us maybe we get to this place, we get sweet, man. I mean, we are blessed to the degree that now we're believing God that in our church alone we can pay off the national debt. So that our children and grandchildren won't have to pay for it. Now, wouldn't that be something? How many times have you griped about the debt? We need to believe for the debt. Have faith for our nation. Have faith for our city. Have faith. See, we need to be believing. Maybe I've got all my stuff done, but now I can believe for my city. I can believe for our nation. I can exercise faith, and that faith will cause me to do some things that maybe I haven't done before. It'll cause me to step out doing what God called me to do. Life is not about getting the bills paid. They got to get paid, though. And that's the starting point. But there's more to it than that. There's more. I mean, faith should be operating in my life every single day. You need to learn how to do it. See, if right now you're just believing God to pay the bills, now start to say, Lord, you know what? I believe you for that, but I'm going to start believing you for beyond that. I'm going to start believing you for abundance so that I can help somebody else pay their bills.
Yeah.
So that I'll have a voice to be able to speak into somebody else's life. And I can begin to say what you said. And they'll hear what you've had to say. It's not just about me getting my bills paid. See, the faith of God, there's this faith of God that speaks and creates and acts on what has been spoken and created by our words. This is kind of challenging, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, it's more than just sitting here, hearing a good sermon, if this is one of those, and hearing something that stirs me in my soul. This is learning how to get beyond the stirring of the soul into the action of faith, because I'm saying, believing, standing on what God has said.
Yes.
And I refuse to stay in this place, because the light is going to move beyond this, and I must walk in that light.
Yes.
See, this kind of faith acts on the word spoken, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how I feel. See, I'm not going to get more light about my finances until I'm tithing. I'm not going to get more light on success in life until I start forgiving people. Because the moment you don't walk in that light, the light passes you by. Ooh, this kind of faith, it does what the word says. Now, Here, we're getting to the real meat of this today. Romans 4:12 says this. It says, walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Now think about it. It says, walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. The Bible teaches us that we're to walk in the steps of faith. Now here's what that says. The walk of faith is one step at a time. One step at a time is the walk of faith. To walk in the light is to walk in the light that we've received. Right? If I'm going to walk by faith, if I'm going to walk in the light, I must learn to walk in the light that I have received. God is not going to shine more light until you're walking in the light that you got. I know how we are. We want a new heavy Rebbe so we can walk in that one. But God isn't obligated to give us new light until we're walking in the light we received. If you know that you ought to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, why do you think you're going to have the light to prophesy? Do you do the first one? If you know you're supposed to tithe, why do you think God's going to show you something else until you walk in the light that you already know about? If you know something, if God told you to go here and you haven't gone here yet, why would you think God's going to tell you to do something else? Have you ever asked God, tell me what to do? And the Lord says something like this, I already told you what to do. I told you 3 years ago what to do, and you still have not done that. Woohoo! I called you to preach, but you're selling insurance. What do you think you're doing? I called you to go to this place, talk to this person, and you didn't do that. Now, you may have missed the window. Now you're going to say, I repent of not walking in that light. I promise you, if you say to me what to do, I'll do it right now. And he's going to say, okay, then go back over there and do that. Or he may say, okay, then do this instead. But you need to understand, God is not obligated to give you more light until you walk in the light you have.
Yeah, that's right.
Woo-hoo. Most people want a new revelation. They've got to walk in the light they've received. wanting new instruction from heaven when they've not been obedient to what He's already told them to do.
Yeah.
Hear me. Don't expect God to tell you something outside the Word when you're not doing what He said in the Word.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Why would God? Oh, Lord, should I marry her or not? Wait a minute. Are you doing what He said in the Word first? The Holy Spirit sounds amazingly like the book. If you start doing what's in the book, now He can speak to you and tell you who to marry. He can tell you where to work. He can tell you what house to buy. He can tell you all those things, but you got to be doing what He said in the book.
Yeah.
You got to walk in the light you have so He can give you further light. Man, we want new revelation. See, to walk by faith in the light that's already been revealed, that's what we're supposed to do. You got to do what you already know to do. If you're spending your days cussing out the guy on the loop, you're not walking in the light. If you spend your day griping at your wife, griping at your kids, you're not walking in the light. If God called you to live in the north and you're living in the south, you're not walking in the light. If God told you to pursue this, but you don't want to and you're pursuing that, you're not walking in the light. And you may get to the top of the ladder and it's going to be the wrong one. It's not the light. See, you already know you're supposed to love. You know that one. You know you're supposed to give. You know you're supposed to pray. You know you're supposed to read the Bible. You know that. I am absolutely amazed when people come to me for counseling and they want God to help them in their marriage. And I say, how much time do you spend in the Bible every day? None. Hello?
Yeah.
In our story last week, we talked about that rich young ruler. Jesus gave him this opportunity to follow Him. The man walked away. Now, did you notice something strikingly different about what happened there than in user-friendly churches? Jesus didn't run after him. He let it go. He's not going to run after you and make you do what He told you to do. If you choose to walk in darkness, He will let you do it. Because He's not going to control you. You got to walk in the light. You have to forgive them, whether you want to or not. You have to do what He said. Woohoo! This is fun. Pastor, preach it like that. I find this verse interesting. This is Exodus chapter 23, verses 29 through 30. The Lord said to the children of Israel, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. You hear what He just said? One step at a time. One step at a time. You might have to quit lying before you quit stealing, but do one step. I'm serious, man. You might have to quit looking at pornography before you quit cussing. But you're going to have to take one step. You might have to. You might have to start tithing before you start preaching.
Yeah, that's good.
You might have to take this step first.
Yeah.
But take the step. Oh, it's easy to see way down here I want to be. But the next step is the most important step.
That's right.
The Lord said, little by little, I'm going to drive them out. One step at a time. One demon at a time. One sickness at a time. One thing at a time. Little by little. It amazes me. You preach about healing, and some guy goes home and takes all the medicine, throws it out of his medicine closet, and starts believing for healing. You need to believe getting off the headache medicine first, okay?
Yeah.
How about we take one step at a time? One step. You know, the guy who's been drinking for years, all of a sudden, I was healed, and now he, you know, I'm going to bars and preaching. No. Take one step at a time. Quit drinking tomorrow. Just one day. Yeehaw. People come to me for counseling and I say, all right, do this. They come back the next month. They hadn't gone away. Well, did you do this? No. Then forget about it. Make an appointment with somebody else because till you do that, I can't help you.
Yes.
And God is saying the same kind of things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, and we're fooling ourselves into thinking that God is going to give me some new light when I'm not walking in the light I know. Faith is one step at a time. I found out this about God. He's not going to give you a 10-year calendar. He's going to show you one step.
Yeah.
Right. He may show you the end of the 10-year calendar, but he's not going to show you every day. He's going to say, you take this step. That's all you can do. It's this step right here. And you take that step. You take the next step that you have to take. Isaiah 20 verse 8 says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, one step after another." Here's how it works. Light, step. More light, another step.
That's right.
More light, another step. It works that way all the way through. Little by little. Little by little. Wouldn't it be great to get saved and tomorrow be preaching like Billy Graham? I can't tell you, there were lots of steps between Billy Graham getting saved and being the Billy Graham you know about.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be great to get the baptism in the Holy Ghost and tomorrow be healing people, having healing ministry like Oral Roberts? A lot of steps in between those two things. Line upon line. Here a little. There a little. One step at a time. That's how it works. We're to walk, the Bible says, in the steps of faithful Abraham. Let's just look at that for a second. Look back in Genesis chapter 12. Let's just see. What does that mean? What's the first step? Oh, Abraham, man, he just was great. He was so blessed. The Bible says he was blessed in everything. Genesis chapter 12, look what this says. Man, the Bible says he was blessed in everything. Everything he was blessed in. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make thee a great nation. I'll bless thee, and I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And so, man, woo, wouldn't that be a time for shouting? Mm-hmm. It'd be exciting for God to say that to you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Is he blessed yet? No. He's fixing to be. Is fixing to be blessed? Blessed?
No.
He's ready to be blessed? Is getting ready the same as being blessed?
No.
No. What light does he have? What light does Abraham have? Get out. All the light he has is get out. Get away from your family. Get out. That's all he has. He has nothing else. Imagine. Abraham packing up everything, got all the stuff loaded on the donkey and the wagons. And his neighbor comes, "Where are you going, Abraham?" "I'm getting out." "Where are you going to?" "I'm getting out." Because that's the only answer he has. The only step he knows to take is get out. All he knows, the only step that he has is get out. That's all the light he has. Abraham was blessed in all things because he walked in the light that he had. Indications from the scripture are that God gave the same deal to his father Haran, and he didn't take it. Haran, that was Nahor was his father. Isn't that right? Nahor? But he stopped at Haran. Whatever. Anyway, he stopped it. Abraham's dad didn't get it because he didn't follow the first step. Do you think Abraham understood that step? No, he didn't understand it. Why would you leave here and go to where you don't know? Why would you do something that ridiculous? See, oftentimes that's all we know is one thing. God is not obligated to give you the whole plan. Why didn't God just say, "Abraham, I want you to move out of here. I want you to go to this place called Bethel. And when you get there, that's where I want you to stay. And I'm going to give you all that land. And you're going to look everywhere and you can see it. And all of it will be yours. If you'll just leave here and go there, I'm going to take care of all this stuff. And I'll make you rich." Why didn't God just tell him that? Because he didn't want to. Because the only thing that's going to please God is faith. And if you already know everything, it doesn't take any faith. God said, "Go there. Get out." The same is true for you and me. I love the story of Samuel. The Lord tells Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 16, he says, I'm tired of Saul. This is the St. Randy version. I'm tired of Saul. I'm rejecting him from being the king. Now, buddy, I want you to fill your horn with oil. And I want you to go to Jesse's house. And? Samuel said, wait a minute. How is this going to work? Because if I go there with a horn of oil, Saul will kill me. The Lord says, you take you a cow and you just do what I told you to do. He said, you get up, fill the horn with oil, and get out. Okay. He had to take a step. Nothing else was going to happen until he put oil in the thing, put the lid on it, put it on his backpack, and walked out and got him a cow. And then he gets there. Y'all know this story. He gets there. He says, everybody's all nervous because he's there. They say, what are you doing here? He said, I need to have dinner with Jesse. Y'all know who Jesse is? Does he live here? Yeah, Jesse's here. Go get him. Tell him we're going to have dinner together. They got dinner. And he said, Jesse, I need to see your boys. I got me a horn of oil. And you know, Jesse's probably excited. They bring the oldest one. He's handsome and tall and big. And the Bible says, Samuel says, surely he's the one. And the Lord said, huh, he's not it. One step at a time.
Yeah.
Well, which one is it then? No, one step. He's not it. Bring me another one. He's not it. Bring me another one. Seven times they brought boys in front of him. He's not it. Now imagine how silly you're feeling by now. You got the horn of oil. They bring seven boys and they're not bringing any more. Have you ever given a tongue and nobody interpreted it for you? You're just hung out there. But you took your one step. So now he says, is that all you boys? No, we got this one more. He's out there with sheep. You know, he's just a little guy. Bring him in here. They bring him in. The Lord says, that's the one. One step. One step. Change the history of Israel. But changed your history. Because it was that kingdom that you got grafted into. Because Samuel took one step at a time. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 22 tells us that Paul was telling the story. He falls down before the Lord and he said, who are you? And the Lord said, get up and go to Damascus. And I'll tell you then. One step. Get up and go. See, we're wanting God to spell it out before we do anything. Mm-hmm. Do what you know to do.
Yeah.
Walk in the light you have. It's interesting. Told Abraham, get up and go. Told Samuel, get up and go. Told Saul, get up and go. What do you think he's telling you?
That's good.
Get up and go. Do what I've told you to do. Call who I've told you to call. Say what I've told you to say. Get up and go. Walking by faith is walking in the light. Walking in the light is doing the word. Having the faith of God is doing what God said. Calling those things that be not as though they were. And doing what he told you to do. Amen. Let me just close with this very simple thing. Here are the steps of faith. Are you ready? Anything. This is the step of faith. Number one. Find out the will of God. Find out what he wants you to do. Spend enough time with him. Listen to him. You know, this isn't going to happen by watching the Cowboys lose. This is going to happen by turning off the Fool TV set, getting alone with God for a long time, probably. Before Jesus cleansed that temple, we have indication in Mark chapter 11 that he went to the temple and stayed all day and didn't say a word. Left town, came back the next day, and then cleansed it out. Hear the will of God. Find out what God wants you to do. Number two, once you find out what God wants you to do, don't confer with flesh and blood.
Yeah.
You get a word from God, don't ask somebody what they think because they're not going to know what God told you.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. I mean, just don't confer with them. And then number three, do whatever he said to do. Get the job done at all costs. Just do it.
Amen.
Walk by faith. By the way, those 3 points, I got those from Oral Roberts. Worked out pretty good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen? Yes. Let's pray. Father, today our desire is to do the will of God. Our desire is not to just play churchy religion and play patty cake in the spirit, but to be men and women of God who walk in the power of God. Our desire, Father, is that you would be glorified in what we do in our walk of faith. Father, we love you. We magnify you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. In Jesus' name.